Okay. Well, my name is Amy Esdorn, and I'm here at the Society of Petroleum Engineers annual technical conference and exhibition at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas. Today is September 28th, 2015, and I'm speaking with Satya Gupta. Mr. Gupta, thank you for participating in this interview. So, well, let's begin. Okay. So my first question for you is, what was your first job in the industry, and when did you get into the industry?
Yeah, after I got my PhD, I got into a research position with Gulf in New Orleans, doing research in corrosion and coatings and things like that. So that's how I got into the industry.
And that was in New Orleans, you said?
Correct.
And when was that?
1978.
My goodness. And so what was the industry like at that time?
Well, it was much smaller than it is now, and it was even 78. We had a mini, crash, and then we're just coming out of it. There was a lot of activity in the Gulf Coast. So they had a research center in New Orleans, and so that's where I started my research career in a way.
And what were you researching?
Again, I was doing work in high temperature, hydrogen sulfide, corrosion and coatings and things of that nature.
And what do you do now?
I'm a Baker Hughes Technology Fellow. So we are about five of us. We report to the chief technology officer of the company, and we essentially we advise the company on technology direction for the company and things of that nature.
So how did you get from researching to your present career right now?
Yeah, it's, you know, everybody knows this industry has gone up and down. So from Gulf, I went to Pennzoil, changed a little bit, worked in the area of automotive specialties, and then joined the Western Company, which is really a service company, and then established R&D. And then BJ Services bought Western. So I moved to Calgary to work for Frackmaster to set up and run the R&D there. And BJ again bought us. So after spending 7 years in Calgary, I moved to the corporate R&D center in Tomball, suburb of Houston. And Baker Hughes bought us. So we've gone through, at least I've gone through several mergers up and down. So, but overall, I've worked in the pressure pumping area, fracturing area, which is the hot area now, and R&D management. And then earlier this year, I was nominated and selected as a Baker Hughes Technology Fellow.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So in 1978, you said it was a little bit of a tight economy there for the oil and gas business. What was it like trying to get into the industry at that time?
It's just not the industry. The whole economy was not doing very well. Those were the quarter years with 20% interest rates and things of that nature. And especially I was a foreign student. I didn't have permanent residency. So it was difficult. But on the other hand, you know, just like now, people always look for somebody with some specialized knowledge and education. So it was a little difficult, but not all that difficult.
And where did you get your PhD?
Where? Mm-hmm. In Washington University in St. Louis, in chemical engineering.
And how did you sort of get all the way over to St. Louis?
It's interesting. I did my undergraduate in India, and I had done an undergraduate project, and the professor at WashU saw a paper I had published with my professor in India, and so he sent essentially those days, it was before emails, a letter saying would I be interested in a graduate school. They said, yeah, if he could pay my way, I would be. And so that's how it worked out. They gave me an externship. He even paid for me to get over here. And rest is history.
That's a great story. Well, so in all of your career that you've worked in since 1978, what has been the most rewarding or exciting part of working in the industry for you?
Well, it's especially for a technology person, there are so many challenges. So it's been a lot of fun solving a lot of problems. I have over 150 patents, so at least contributed some to the industry, and some of it has made money for the companies I work for, and it has solved problems for the industry. So it's, at the end of the day, I feel I have contributed something to the industry. And I've had a lot of personal satisfaction solving problems.
And what were some of those problems that you solved, some of those challenges that you faced?
It's all the way from, a lot of people think hydraulic fracturing, it's been in the news recently, it's something new. We have been doing it for a long, long time. So original, when I started in the 80s, it was tight gas, tight oil. Now it is unconventional. So some of the things I've worked on is using encapsulations or micro-encapsulations for controlled release of chemicals, breakers for fracturing fluids. I have done a lot of work in the area of using less water or no water. Actually, I just completed a SPE as a distinguished lecturer going around the world talking about how to frack with little or no water. So those are some of the things, fracturing with foams, fracturing with liquid CO2 where you don't have to use water. So some of those is what I worked on.
And what, I guess you said you have over 150 patents. Yeah. And which of those patents would you say were the most rewarding when you worked on them?
Quite a few of them. Sometimes solving problems, you borrow what you observe every day and then apply it to solve some of the challenges. One of the things I can mention is we have a product line where we introduce production chemicals and fracturing treatments. The concept came from looking at cat litter. Cat litter, when the cat does its business, the cat litter, which is diatomaceous earth, absorbs it. So much so you don't see the smell or the liquid anymore. So I used that concept to adsorb production chemicals, corrosion inhibitors, scale inhibitors, asphaltene inhibitors, paraffin inhibitors into solid matrix that we can pump along with a fracture treatment so it stays underground in the frac treatment. And then when the well starts producing and if it has scale problems or paraffin problems, we have written several SPE papers showing case histories where some of it has lasted for over 5 years. So it's a simple concept, but it has solved the problems so you don't have to do interventions, you don't have to chemically have a treating program to solve some of the production problems you have in the industry.
And all because of cat litter.
It's all cat litter.
Do you have any other patents that you particularly enjoyed working on? Or
As I mentioned, I've done a lot of work, again, in fracturing treatments nowadays. We are doing multi-stage all the way to 50. Today somebody was saying we are doing 100 stages. And each stage we are putting about 300,000 gallons of water. And water is a precious resource. And so if you can do it with little or no water, it's better for both the environment as well as we're not recovering a lot of this water. So some of the things I've done is fracturing with liquid CO2 or fracturing with foams where you're using only 70% less water or fracturing with seawater. So some of those, if not today, in the future, when availability of water becomes an issue, will have an impact on the industry.
And which of those do you think holds the most promise?
It depends where you are. I mean, there is a lot of interest in tight oil, and unconventionals in the Middle East, for example, and you don't have any water there. But if you are close to the sea, you have a lot of seawater. So it has an impact there. In North America, there is a lot, I mean, as an industry, we produce 6-7 barrels of water per barrel of oil or oil equivalent. So there's a lot of produced water that we need to find a way to dispose of. Rather than disposing it off, if you can find a way to use it for fracturing, there's a lot of potential. I see fracturing is not going to disappear. Hydrocarbons are not going to disappear. So if we can do it with little or no fresh water, at least in the medium term, I see that having a lot of impact.
So which technological innovations do you think have had the most important impact on the industry in the last 60 years?
The two, without a doubt, is horizontal drilling and multi-stage fracturing. That is what has created the abundance of oil and gas, at least in North America today.
And you've worked on both of those, right? Or have you worked on...
I've not worked on the drilling portion. Right. I've worked only on the hydraulic fracturing mm-hmm. side.
Yeah. And so so what does it feel like to be a part of something that's, you know, really had such a significant impact on the industry and on the world?
It's more than the industry. It's on the world. I mean, we need energy and we need safe, not only safe, but affordable energy. And so the technology I worked on, at least hydraulic fracturing, has been one of the major contributors for it. So at the end of the day, I feel very proud to have worked in the industry on those, at least on that aspect.
And when you went into the industry, did you think that you would be contributing in such a way or to the world or... You know, did you foresee this happening?
Well, things were different. I mean, when I started, it was a job. Then it became a profession. And then it all works out in the end, I guess. That's the way to say it. No, I didn't plan on contributing to the world, but that's how it works out.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Great. Well, I have one more question for you. And that question is, how has being a member of SPE affected your career?
Oh, quite a bit. I mean, without SPE and the technical resources available, I've learned a lot interacting with other SPE members and in the technology area. One Petro, or before that, the SPE technical papers has contributed a lot, so you don't reinvent the wheel. And also, from the beginning, I've been attending the annual meetings, the forums, the workshops, and a lot of people, I mean, a lot of mentors for me have come from the SPE members. And also, hopefully, I've contributed some to SPE. So I don't think I would have been as successful as I've been without being a member of SPE.
And you mentioned mentors there. I wonder, how did you sort of get involved, or how did you meet those mentors, and how did those relationships evolve?
It's, you know, when when I started working in the area of hydraulic fracturing, I didn't know much about it. I mean, I was more of a chemical engineer or a physical chemistry person. So the fluids, the chemistry is just part of it. There is a lot to do with completions and all that. So I had, you know, when I started working at Western, I had Larry Harrington, who got an SPE, one of the legends of hydraulic fracturing award a few years ago. He was the completions guy and I was the chemistry guy. And I learned a lot from him, and hopefully I taught him a little bit of chemistry. But it was a very small community, and even today, hydraulic fracturing community is very small. So it was, that's how it started. And then I started attending some forums and started learning more about hydraulic fracturing. And then, so they mentored me into areas I didn't know anything about. So, a lot to do with interdependence of various disciplines.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for participating in our project.
You're very welcome.
I hope you have a great day.
Thank you.